Welcome back to the show. It's Todd Zwillick and Noel King, both in the studio, filling in for John Hockenberry this week. Well, you remember Hope and Change from 2008. It was all the rage. Of course, everyone remembers it as the theme not only of the Obama campaign, but of the Obama persona, a new kind of politics, elevating above partisanship and fighting for a new kind of politics in America. Well, flash forward to today, and things may more closely resemble sort of a standard presidential mudslinging campaign. Things have definitely changed for the Obama campaign inside and out. There are differences in ideology, personal disputes, and a candidate unhappy with some of his underlings, and a candidate so highly competitive that he has already decided he's winning this race. That's all according to a new ebook in Politico by Glenn Thrush, senior White House correspondent for Politico. Glenn Thrush joins us now. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for being on the show to talk about your new ebook, which is just out this week. A look really inside the inner circle of the Obama campaign. So you just tell me that hopey changey thing. How's it going for Obama?
Well, I think what does he say during these campaign rallies? That it's still about hope and change, right? I think it is very, very hard after all this time, all these battles, all this water under the bridge, all this super PAC spending, for him to reclaim that mantle. And I don't think from the course of my reporting, 2 months and talking to two dozen or more people in his circle, that he really has very many illusions about this. This is a guy who's committed to the kind of race that it will take to win. And I can tell you, he doesn't like Mitt Romney very much.
Well, let's play a cut of President Obama speaking about Mitt Romney. We're going to come back to that exactly. Listen.
Mr. Romney claims that he's Mr. Fix-It for the economy because of his business experience. And so I think voters entirely legitimately want to know, well, what exactly was that business experience?
Okay, a policy, a political argument there that maybe Mitt Romney's business experience is not all it's cracked up to be. Maybe the president defending the Bain attacks against Mitt Romney, but you report that it's really personal. He really and truly doesn't like the guy.
No, he thinks, I mean, it's a fine line here between what is personal contempt versus
competitiveness.
Yeah, a more overall sort of Catholic, not in the religious sense, denunciation of what Romney stands for. Look, you know, Obama, if anything, prides himself on having made tough decisions. He thinks that's why he's in a bit of a hole now to begin with. And he sees in Romney the kind of shape-shifting, do-anything-to-get-elected kind of modern politics that he ran against in 2008. So, I mean, this may seem a little perverse, but I think his rationalization internally, and certainly the campaign's rationale, is that you got to hit this guy as hard in a very 2012 way to sort of keep that tiny flickering flame of 2008 alive.
To a lot of people, that sort of seems, the rap on Democrats inside the Beltway and off and out is that they don't know how to take the gloves off. They don't know how to play hardball. They get beat by the Karl Roves of the world because the Karl Roves of the world know that Democrats are afraid to really punch below the belt, and that Barack Obama seems to be putting the lie to that notion, at least in 2012.
Well, I think what's really interesting, first of all, I think having covered the 2008 campaign from the Hillary Clinton side, I can tell you there was no sense that the Obama campaign in Chicago were, was this operating on this elevated, non-confrontational plane. I mean, that is, I think, very much revisionist history. He was riding a certain wave here. But one little anecdote I thought was really illustrative. One of the things that has kind of stumped me is this continuing kind of low-grade antipathy between Bill Clinton and Obama. I mean, they get along really well. The relationship is kind of working right now. But there is this lingering sense of resentment. And I asked a bunch of Clinton people, why is this? And a couple of them mentioned to me, and I hadn't heard this before, go back to December of 2007. Benazir Bhutto has just been assassinated in Pakistan. And look at what David Axelrod said about Hillary. And I went back, and I had forgotten about this, and he had linked Hillary to the Bhutto assassination, saying that if Hillary hadn't voted in favor of the Iraq war in the Senate, that this might not have happened. I mean, an insinuation, and it was reported so at the time, that that vote had somehow indirectly contributed to the assassination. That's the kind of hardball these guys played back in 2008. Just kind of got forgotten.
Maybe it got papered over by the public image of the president as a gentle, kind of elevated warrior. Maybe that's why there's that revisionist history there. Well, Glenn Thrush, you mentioned David Axelrod, and I want to play a cut of him because this sound is going to illustrate another point that you make about what really goes on inside the presidential campaign. Listen to Axelrod in Boston.
If there are members of the news media who want to address questions to us, who want to contend with it, we're happy to entertain them. Anyone up here? Anybody?
David Axelrod threw a press conference in Boston late in the spring, Glenn Thrush. It didn't go well. He got heckled there by some Romney supporters. President Obama, you report, was actually watching on television while the spectacle unfolded. And what was his reaction?
Was that Axelrod or like a Manchester United game?
yeah.
Obama
or a Red Sox-Yankees game. I don't know. Yeah.
Obama, let's just put this mildly, did not like this very much. I had to go through as I was writing this book to take out some cuss words, and this was one of the incidents in which I've received several reports in which the president of the United States worked blue. He thought this was a spectacle. This is a guy in Obama's case who likes to throw a punch, but he doesn't like to look stupid doing it. And this incident was really illustrative of the way that the campaign stumbled out of the gate. They had real message coordination issues early on, and they were kind of throwing everything at the wall. And this was a great example. Stephanie Cutter, Axelrod's deputy, and I report on some tension between the two of them in the book, had come up with this idea because she was a longtime operative in Massachusetts, a Kerry associate, a longtime aide to the late Senator Ted Kennedy, of kind of bringing the fight to Mitt Romney on the steps of the state capitol in Massachusetts. Long story short, it leaked out ahead of time. They had the opportunity to put it in a smaller venue, but Romney's people loaded into a bus and heckled him on the steps of the state capitol. And it was just a poor idea, and they had several opportunities to pull it back. But Obama, at this point in time, sort of convened the Klans, brought them into the White House, and said, look, guys, we got to tighten this up. And really, that was a bit of a pivot point because things did improve, I think, starting from July onward.
And you also report on some weekly strategy sessions in the Roosevelt Room in the White House on Sundays, in fact, when the president gathers with his political team to set strategy. Take us inside those meetings. You mentioned sort of the president's competitive approach and his intention to win, but also some of the competitiveness among his staff. Take us sort of inside the Roosevelt Room on a Sunday.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I haven't talked about this much in other interviews. First of all, it used to be on a Saturday. It got moved to a Sunday because Jack Lew is a practicing Jew. I thought that was really interesting. Shout out to the mishpacha there.
Always, Glenn.
thank you. Sorry. Obama is spending right now about $2 million a month on polling. Think about that. That is the annual budget of a small company. And they spend a lot of time going over data. This is, one thing you don't hear, Obama and his campaign saying is that they don't look at the polls. They do. They not only look at the polls, they go through the spreadsheets. Obama's a very sophisticated consumer of this data. And one of the really interesting things that I came across is I was asking participants and people who with knowledge of this meeting, what is he asking? What is he looking at? And it turns out he spends an awful lot of time looking at these gauges of enthusiasm, because obviously this is a base election. He's seen a diminishment of enthusiasm since 2008. So he asks things like, how are we doing in terms of volunteer recruitment at Ohio State University? How well are we doing in southern Colorado in terms of getting people into the office? And, you know, these are the kinds of metrics that he's looking for.
Well, it's an extremely detail-oriented leader of the campaign and a hyper-competitive one, too. We didn't get into too much of the president's hyper-competitive style, but if people go on Politico.com and download Obama's Last Stand, written by you, Glenn Thrush, they'll see some really fascinating anecdotes of just how competitive this president is. That's Glenn Thrush, senior White House writer for Politico. Thanks, Glenn.